weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Time to introduce to you a new regular guest on 105 Drive. His name is Jamie Mountford. You might have heard him on air before. He spoke to Louise a couple of months back, but he's here now in the first of what's going to be a regular slot. You are very welcome, Jamie.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's very exciting and great opportunity.
What should we call you? Shall we call you Chef Jamie?
Just call me Jamie. Call me Juicy Jamie. Call me wherever
Juicy
you like.
Jamie. Might have to pursue that one at a later date, perhaps. So, how did it all start for you in the world of being a chef? Presumably, you have to kind of work your way up the ranks first of all.
Yeah, that was very much the case. It was at the age of 15 actually. I was working in a pot wash of a restaurant. Part-time, and I was asked if I'd like to go into the kitchen. I couldn't really see any other career to go into other than the army, which my parents didn't really agree with. So I pursued the passion of being a chef and worked within a family of chefs who supported me. And from that, I ended up in London because the head chef I was working for used to be Gary Rhodes, his sous chef at the Savoy. And I ended up in London working with some big top names at the age of 17, really.
So you describe it as a family. Is it one of these places where you kind of look out for each other and you kind of keep a network going, so you maybe keep in touch with previous colleagues?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Always, I still talk to my first head chef now, you know, 16 years on. It's definitely, you're at work constantly from the beginning, you know, you're from there from, you know, anything from 6 in the morning till 11 at night. So you're working within a family of chefs, really, who are out there to support each other within the time period that they're there, really. You spend more time with the chefs in the kitchen than what you do with your own family.
So I suppose it's become a sort of second family almost, in all senses.
It's a fantastic feeling working with people that you trust and love, and, you know, when people come to leave, you know, you still stay in touch, definitely, because it's a big networking thing as well.
The sort of training that you get, do you do practical courses? Is there some sort of written thing? Or is it literally just learning bits and pieces as you go along?
There's so many things out there that, you know, you can do an MVQ. You can go to college full-time. I just basically went straight into it straight away after school, like full-time, and hands-on experience, really. And then ended up at Westminster Kingsway College in London once a week. Which I couldn't really carry on with once I moved to a restaurant called Petrus, which was a Michelin star, due to me working anything between 18 to 22 hours a day, really. Mm. So, you know, I needed my days off to sleep.
Now, you spent some time, a few years, at the old Red Lion in Horseheath. Now, we have to take a note of that because the Cambridge Rock Festival is taking place in Horseheath in a couple of weeks' time. So we may care to go to the old Red Lion. Is it a pretty good place?
Ian and Tracy, the people who own the old Red Lion, are fantastic people. They, you know, stepped into my life when I was in a bit of a low period with chefing, and they asked me to come on board and progress their business, which we did. We took it to a different dimension. We've taken it to fine dining level, and now they've got a one rosette.
Was that similar to like a star system,
no.
Or how does who gives out the rosettes?
The rosettes are basically from the Michelin Guide.
Okay.
But the rosettes are mainly on the food as well as the experience as well.
Oh, I see. So it's like drilling down, if you like, into a certain part of the establishment.
They turned the pub into a great place to be, really, especially in the Horsey Village, which is very, you know, small in numbers, which is on the outskirts of Haverhill and so on, and Linton and so on, and it's a great place to be, really.
And when something like that happens, when you go into, as a chef, into a place, either as a new chef or as happened here, when the landlord says, "I want to do something special," does the landlord tend to have fixed ideas of what he wants, and then you have to come up with something to fit his or her, for that matter, precise requirements, or, you know, does it tend to be more even handed?
It's very mixed, really. You know, obviously the landlord, it's his business, and he's paying the money to progress the business. You have to listen as a chef, as a professional, and as a person, you know, looking at the person who owns the business, that is their money at the end of the day, not to go too wild with your own ideas due to the fact you've got to take into consideration what the landlord wants, what the customer wants, and not what your ego wants.
Yeah.
So you really have to step back sometimes. And, you know, the best thing about the Old Red Lion at Horsehead with Ian and Tracy, they kind of let me do what I want with the menus and so on, and trusted me, really. And it's really hard to find people who have places like that that trust you.
And it's a balancing act, I suppose, in any case, isn't it, about even as beyond, you know, once you've got the menu sorted, to make sure, as you do see in some places, but it's not too clever for its own good.
Yeah.
And that you, at the same time, yes, you'll want to try out new things, and but equally, you'll, you know, a lot to be said for scampion chips, really.
Well, yeah, but it's basically delivering what the chef wants, but also what the customer wants, and also delivering it in a different way. So if I was going to do scampion chips, I'd do it with you know, vinegar water and sorry, not vinegar water, salt water and vinegar powder, and then do it with almost a vinegar gel, and then do the scampi with homemade peas, and then cylinder cut potatoes instead of normal chips, and then, you know, go from there, really. So it comes out on the plate well presented. As long as it's well presented, people eat with their eyes. So they take photos, put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram.
Oh, goodness me, yes. Then, well, after you think of that as a chef, when you suddenly realise that, you know, your creations are turning up all over social media.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely amazing. And it's great for the business as well. It progresses the business. And then you get more clientele coming through the doors, which hopefully gets you more of a pay rise.
Absolutely. The whole gastropub thing is quite fascinating. They get criticised, yet at the same time, it's clearly really important. A lot of people, including myself, I have to confess, will enjoy going to eat at a gastropub.
Gastropubs are fantastic. You know, it's the best thing about, you know, me personally as a chef, restaurants deliver, you know, an experience, and they deliver, you know, a fine dining menu. But the best thing about gastropubs, in my opinion, is you're eating in a comfortable atmosphere. You can go in with your trainers, you can go in with your shorts, and you can have fine dining food, but in a relaxed atmosphere. Mm. And that's what the Red Lion deliver, and that's what the Bedford Lodge deliver as well. You know, it's a hotel which it delivers everything that a customer wants, really. So, yeah, I do like the pub side, and I do like the hotel side, because at the end of the day, the hotel is basically a home for the guest, and the guest needs to feel comfortable. And at the Bedford Lodge, what we did is we introduced one menu that you could have anywhere. So you don't have to go into the restaurant and just have a restaurant menu. You could go in and have your bar menu in the restaurant if you wanted. And it's been fantastic turnaround, really.
The other thing I noticed from your, you sent me your CV earlier on today, and I think it's not a job interview. It's I've already booked him. when you're working on Crystal Holidays, was this as head chef? That must have been an interesting experience.
It was a 6-month period, and I did it for 2 years basically, where I had to go out into the Italian Alps and set up a hotel kitchen.
Oh, that's no hardship, is it?
No, especially when you only get one fresh fruit and veg delivery a week, and you have to deliver a different menu every night, because obviously the guests are there, you know, 7 days, you know.
What do you do? Greens, vegetables at the beginning of the week, and working out which ones are going to last the longest to make sure they're still as fresh as you can.
Such an amazing experience as a chef, because you have to really think about what you can and can't do, really. And, you know, the whole experience was snowboarding, and, you know, the lads that I met out in the Alps were fantastic lads. They didn't have much experience, but we built a great kitchen team together, and they followed me out the following year as well. And when you know, because it's only winter season, so to speak. And then the most amazing experience was when I went back to England, and I was looking for work. My old employer employed me as a manager of front of house, due to the fact he didn't have any chef jobs. He wanted me not to go anywhere else, really, which was Richard at the Bull's Head in Repton, up in the Derbyshire area. Mm. And then he took me back, and then when I wanted to go out next year, he let me go, and then he took me back again. And, you know, it was a great experience, really. So, you know, stay loyal to your employers, and it all comes back, really.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably the case in any line of work. The Shape of You. Shape of You from Ed Sheeran, which is a musical choice of the new Drive chef, Jamie Mountford. Why do you like Ed Sheeran in particular?
I just love that song. There's a YouTube video on the internet at the moment with dancers to it, and they dance so fantastic to it, and it just brings it all to life, you know. And it's a great video as well, you know. It's quite funny with the sumo wrestler at the end, so yeah.
Oh, not entirely dancing girls then?
No, there's two videos. That, you know, you've got the Ed Sheeran one, and then you've got the sumo wrestling, the dancing professionals from America. So yeah, really enjoy it.
Have a search for that one maybe a little later on. So when you sit down at home, when you sort of start planning your meals for the week, what do you cook for yourself and for family?
Basically, you know, I try to stay healthy. So we look at certain websites that do healthy food, which is, you know, healthy meals at home, really. So, you know, we look at things like, at the moment I do, so I basically produce a 7-day menu at home. Plan our meals. It helps with budgeting, with shopping, and then we all, you know, we plan our meals. And mainly on a Wednesday, I'll cook all the meals for most of the week and put them in tubs and so on. One of those is, you know, oven baked chips, which are homemade with fresh potatoes, and then doing a nacho style topping. And then another one would be vegetable chili con carne made with corn mince and so on. So, yeah, a bit of everything, really. And it helps when you really sit down and plan it for, you know, it takes about 30 minutes when you plan your meals. I plan breakfast and dinner. I never really account for lunch because obviously I'm a chef and I pick throughout the day, really.
So you don't normally have a lunch. You're not sitting down with a sandwich somewhere when the lunch menu was done because you've had a... tried that, presumably to make sure that it's okay for the clients half the time.
Definitely checking that the seasoning's right and it's cooked to perfection, really.
Mm.
You know, making sure the richness, the acidity of the thing that I'm tasting, it has to be correct, really. So
the one thing I've never been able to work out, really, you know, some people can open a fridge and say, I'll take that, and they'll make something from it. Whereas I tend to be one of these people who has to follow the recipe basically from start to finish. And the result of which, of course, is that if a recipe calls for, I don't know, 400 grams of something, and the pack just happens to be, as it so often is, 500 grams, then I've got them stuck with 100 grams of, I don't know, tofu or something, but I don't know what to do with.
Well, you just keep it to the side. You know, my fiance Melissa, she basically does exactly the same as that. You know, I find it very irritating that she'll go out and specifically buy something for that recipe, and I'll be like, well, why don't you try using this instead that we've already got in, and it's just going rotten in the fridge. And she'll think, oh, yeah, I could have done that. And it's just like, I mean, it's just down to it.
So think about substitutions, really, a lot of the time.
Yeah, definitely. So if you need 10 stem broccoli, and it's, you know, it's £3 from the supermarket, and you've already got a head of broccoli in, why don't you use that? Or, you know,
no, even I'd work that one out. That's easy.
Yeah, that's a simple one. Yeah, you know,
I suppose creme fraiche for sour cream and that sort of thing.
So if you got, you know, what I've done in the past is that, if you know, creme fraiche is just basically citrus. Well, it's got lemon juice fruit, so it's a bit sour, isn't it? So, you know, if you got fresh cream, we'll whip it up and add a bit of lemon juice to it, a bit of salt and pepper, and then you've almost got your creme fraiche, so to speak.
Ah, yes, so, no, that makes sense.
You know, little tips like that. And, you know, instead of, if you have to, you know, the flavours like strawberries and raspberries, if you haven't got raspberries and the recipe says strawberries, sorry, if the recipe says raspberries, then go just use the strawberries that you've already got up. And it works great with chocolate, you know. It's a simple thing, really.
Yeah, no, that's fairly straightforward. Now, the last time you were in, you were talking to Louise about a pop-up that you'd done. That equally seems to be another restaurant trend at the moment. How did that one go, and how does that fit into the overall food scheme?
It was very, very good. It was really good. It was successful. We did 40 covers.
Now that means places, doesn't it?
That's 40 people, yeah. And it was all in aid of Headway Charity. We walked into a pub kitchen which hadn't been used for a while. And, you know, I had 7 volunteers helping me out. All the ingredients were donated by, you know, 10 different suppliers, including equipment and so on. You know, the Blue Line at Hardwick gave me a water bath. So a water bath is basically, in my opinion, it's a temperature-guided oven, but with water in it. So you can set it at 55 degrees. You can put your product in there, and it won't overcook over 55 degrees. it'll just stay for 24 hours. You can put it in there, and it just sits there. But I borrowed one from the Blue Lion at Hardwick, which saved my life on the night because I never worked in the kitchen before. It was a very small kitchen, only two gas rings worked. You know, we tried to light the grill, it almost set on fire, and the ovens didn't really work. And then we had 20 steaks on order for the main courses, and halfway through that, we had to evacuate the kitchen due to the fact that the amount of smoke that was being produced by the char grill, it just smoked us out. We could barely see it in front of our faces, really. It just wasn't, that kitchen wasn't designed to do that capacity of food, which was a great learning experience on my part, but it was a great, great day. Very, very stressful. I learned a lot about doing front of house as well, you know, bringing people together, bringing suppliers together. It was, you know, a lot on my head, really, and it was a great day. It was also, the charity was Headway, which helped my dad out after he had his stroke. And the day was really me saying goodbye to my father, who passed away the year before, really, and it was a great day. It was emotional, and I'd just thank everybody who helped out, really.
And going forward, are you tempted to do some more pop-ups yourself?
Yes, I'm actually looking for a pub out there. Hopefully, anybody who's got one, who doesn't actually do food at the moment but has a lot of drinkers, great community support, and I'd love to do another charity pop-up night. 50% of the proceeds going to the charity, and 50% proceeds helping me out to set up my own outside catering business.
Well, best of luck with that. I hope that that works. What are you planning to cook this weekend?
This weekend I'm looking to cook lamb shank on Sunday for the family. I'm going to put some mint sauce through some mashed potato. If you've never tried it, it's fantastic. It's absolutely great.
It's like literally through the potato?
Yeah, so just, you know, you get your mashed potato, and then you just add a teaspoon of mint sauce, mix it through, bit of butter, plenty of butter. Oh, I love a bit of butter, a bit of saturated fat.
Yeah, it's always good and healthy.
Salt and pepper and caramelised carrots. You know, just some seasoning, really. And then for dessert, I've got some egg whites because I made a hollandaise sauce yesterday. So, you know, hollandaise sauce is mainly egg yolks. So I've got some egg whites in the fridge. And then on Sunday, I'm going to whip them up and make a raspberry souffle with some chocolate sauce.
That sounds pretty good. You hungry next door, Mr. Whiteside?
I was going to say, can we actually move you across to maybe a Thursday or something? Because this is doing me in. Cheers for this. I've had no lunch. But interestingly, how about the Black Horse in Dry Drayton? You're talking about doing a pop up. Black Horse in Dry Drayton is a community pub trying to save a pub. So that might be one for you to.
We'll get in touch and we'll see what we can do. Really,
yeah, that might be worth. We'll put you in touch with them. I'll send you over the email details. Lovely. After six, I'm in the mood for a good weekend, aren't you? It's going to rain later, but we'll cover that then. Lovely evening here in Cambridge. Music to get your weekend started. All after six.